We certainly do appreciate the good song service. Appreciate your attitude while you sing. What a blessing that is. Glad to have visitors with us tonight. It's been a good day throughout today. God is blessed. And I do have a burden that's on my heart. I'll say this before I start. I know last good long while, I guess, I've made mention to a falling away of the church, falling away of God's people everywhere. I believe you can see that worldwide. I also believe that if you hear that enough, we can get so saturated with it that it's almost depressing to hear. And I don't ever want to be that preacher that just talks to the faithful and tell them how unfaithful everybody is. You are the faithful. And I'm thankful for that. It's an honor and it's a privilege to pastor a faithful group here at Clear Branch. I say faithful not just because you show up to church. You know, whenever it come time for us to elect deacons here at Clear Branch, we didn't have to look far. You know, we didn't have to look over qualifications for deacons. We looked at the qualifications, and God had men to fill that position. I'm thankful for that. When it comes, you know, if God wanted to call someone out of this congregation to preach, I believe He could find some that are faithful and those that would meet the qualifications. When it comes time for us to have communion service and it comes time for us to have the feet washing service that we would have together in communion, I see faithful widows that come in to that service and sit down and, as the Bible says, wash the saints' feet. I've seen some widows do that. You come, you know, it's not always the case. I have seen it where maybe a wife and a husband be faithful to come to church and that husband pass away and that wife decides she's going to do whatever she wants from that point and don't go to church and no longer live faithful to the Lord. And I feel like throw a lot of value away that worked far for many, many years. But it's not that way here at Clear Branch. The widows come and those, I know there's men have lost their wives, still coming to church faithful, and I'm thankful for that. It is an honor and a privilege to pastor, and not just to pastor, but be a member of a church that is that faithful. That being said, the message that I'm going to preach tonight, it would probably go over like a lead balloon in a lot of places among those that would not be faithful, those that don't want to take God's word as the final authority. But I know here at Clear Branch that you accept God's word as being the final authority. And so you can turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I want to be a blessing. I'm not trying to discourage in any way with this message, but this is one of those that God has placed on my heart, and I feel like it's certainly it needs to be preached, and it can be an encouragement to us if we'll let it. Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to preach on the helpmeet tonight. Go ahead and get ahead of myself. The helpmeet. So you ladies, I want you to hear this before I start. I can only see this from a man's point of view. Now, I'll do my best to look at it from your point of view, but I can only do it from my point of view. And I, rather than look and give my opinion, I want to try to stick as close to God's Word as I possibly can. That way I don't get in trouble. Genesis 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. You know, God said it's not good that man should be alone. That's not my opinion. That it really wouldn't matter what your opinion would be on the subject. God looked at man and he said, it is not good that a man should be alone. And so God gave him something to occupy. He gave him some work to do. He brought all the living creatures before him. And he said, I'm going to let Adam name all these creatures. And that's what he did. And man was created with a need. He had a need. God said, I'm going to let him do this work for me. And so he began to name all the animals. But you know something? Man does not function well alone. We never have, never will. God saw that. It was needful to make provision for the man so that he would not be alone. And so I think it's good that we read this, that God passed every creature. We're living in a day and time where creatures have just about been praised more than the Creator Himself. And this shows us here that God brought every creature. That means He brought the cattle. So I can see Adam there maybe speaking out, talking to the animals. I'm going to call you a cow, and I'm going to call you a donkey, and we'll call you a horse. And if we saw that today, we might think, well, he's going crazy over there talking to the animals like that. But sometimes it's easier to talk to animals, ain't it, than it is maybe one another. It shouldn't be that way, and I say it very jokingly, because it shouldn't be that way, but sometimes it is. And so God brought every animal. He brought, no doubt, dogs before him. And as he considered that, God said, that just will not do. That's not a fitting companion. I know it said that a dog is a man's best friend, maybe besides a wife. That might be the case, but whoever made that statement never had a good wife. A good wife is to be a man's best friend. And so he maybe brought cats, and I've seen people talk about cats and things. And look, I believe that a good man, will honor his animals. I believe that. A good man will take care of his animals. The Bible teaches that. But they do have their place. And, I hear it. If you watch some morning talk shows, and a lot of times you'll hear these ladies, and they talk about going home to their cats. And that cat is a better companion than any man could be. Somebody's got things way off. That's not what God intended. That's not how God intended for man to find companionship. I hope when I first started preaching, I wouldn't ever have to mention, but I'm just going to admit, he didn't create another man for him either. There's a difference between a man having another man as a friend and having one as a companion. God teaches against that in every way. He teaches against that. He created woman. Go back to verse 20 again. Adam was outside. He's naming the animals. Maybe he's talking to the cows. He's talking to the birds. He's talking to the beasts of the field. There was not a help that was meet for him. Now, through the years, man has found a lot of uses for animals. A yoke of oxen. To find a horse. And, we even talk about our cars. They have horsepower because a horse was so well used by men for so long. But again, it was not a help that was fitting for him. That's what that means when it says help that was meet for him. That word meet means fitting. God did not find any help that was fitting enough for him to fill that void that man had. And so God created woman. He took from the man. He didn't just get over here in the dust and form up another body and breathe life into her. But rather, he took from the man. He pulled out of the man something that cannot be replaced except by the woman. He forms a woman. He creates the woman. And whenever he brought her as a gift, he presented her to Adam. Adam said, "Well, man, woman, I will call her woman because she was taken from man." And he was no doubt impressed by her. As he looked upon her, he said, "This is the one. She is a fitting help." The reason I know that, Brother Joey, he said when he looked at her, he said, "This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She's part of me." The home today is such a force against the wicked one. The devil knows this, I believe, more than most people know it today. Whenever you have a good, strong family, that is a force to be reckoned with. And it is a blessing from God. Children are a heritage from God. They're not a burden to bear. They are a heritage from the Lord. And God set up the family, the husband and the wife and those children. And whenever we do things the way God said, what a blessing it is to have a good family. What a blessing it is to know that you have that wife or that husband that's there for you. She was bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, a help that was meet, a help that was fitting for him. God made woman in a way that was helpful to the man. She fits. She has the ability, you ladies, listen, you have the ability to make your husband better. God created you, and you have the ability to make a home and to make it something that's worth coming to. Make it something that is separate from anything else on this earth. You know, whenever I think of home, my home's not perfect. Anybody, I got my nephew living with me now, he can tell you. Sometimes, you know, it can get kind of rough around there maybe, but it's not perfect. But it's the place I desire to go to more than any place else on the face of the earth. I would rather go there than about anywhere else. I love coming to church. But when I get through with church, Brother Mike, I'm ready to go home. I want to go to the house. That's where I abide. That's where home is, where the heart is. It used to be said that way. A lot of times it's anything but. In the last few years, the value of man and woman bonded together in harmony has been obscured, it's been mocked, it's been ridiculed, all these attacks by the devil. Man and woman marry, and she takes his last name. Not a lot a thought given to that today. Well, you got married, you take his name. Whenever I married Sabrina, Brother James Broom preached our wedding. He stood up there, he said, "I now introduce to you Mr. and Mrs. Brad O'Neill." I thought that sounded odd. I never heard it that way before. That sounds odd. But she took my name. She's no longer Broom, she's O'Neill. And when she took my name, there's a lot in that, Brother Jake, and that is, she come into my life to make me better. She come into my life to be part of me, and I to be part of her. And we are now bone of bone, flesh of flesh, one unit, and that's how God wants family to work. Don't always work that way. We are human. We can be rebellious. We can be stubborn, but that's how God expects it to work. That's how he wants it to work, and that's how he can help us to see that it works. But we are to learn of one another. And that should be a process we shouldn't dread. I shouldn't look and say, "Well, she's different about this. I can't stand that." You going to find some pet peeves along the way? Of course you are. Does that mean you got to hate her because of those pet peeves? No, but some do. You know, some can't sit together and have a conversation with one another after they've been married a few years without an argument. That's the way it is. But we are to learn how to give of ourselves to one another. That's something I believe that Everything I'm saying tonight, I know you know. I told you I'm preaching to the faithful clear branch. You know this, but I want to remind us, and especially you young people, I want you to understand, marriage is still a wonderful thing. And a godly home is more valuable than anything else that you set your heart on. It's a wonderful thing. Oneness. Oneness is so important in home. Husband, love her as your own self. Wife, be that fitting help for him. Last week we spoke about being vessels unto the Lord. You can be an honorable vessel or a dishonorable vessel. But the Lord said that we are to purge ourselves from these, talking about iniquity, purge ourselves from these, and we will be a vessel that would be meet for the Master's use. Meet. That word meet again means fitting. That we, even as children of God, that we could live our lives in such a way that we could be fit to help our Lord to do His work. The same way a wife should want to be fit, to be meet, to help her husband, to become meet for the Master's use. You know, God made woman to be fit to help her husband. A good wife makes a husband better. A good husband makes a wife better. Look over at Proverbs 31. Verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Let's stop right there. That's a good question. Who can find one? It's certainly, and I never thought I'd be able to say this, but it is not popular today for a young girl to be virtuous. It's not popular. In fact, it's almost, by the world, it's frowned upon. By the world, they young ladies are shamed for trying to live a virtuous life. But I encourage you young ladies tonight, you ignore all that junk. Ignore it. Because who can find a virtuous woman? Why is it so important? For her price is far above rubies. God placed a value on a good virtuous woman that is far above rubies. She's priceless. My wife is priceless. You couldn't buy her for any amount of money. She's priceless. It's wonderful to know I've got a good virtuous woman sitting there. She will do him good. Let's go back again. Verse 11. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. That's important. That your husband be able to trust you so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. What a fitting help for a wife to have the trust of her husband. You know, for that husband to be able to go off and think, I don't have to worry about her. I don't have to worry about if she's going to be home when I get home. I don't have to worry about if she's going to run off on me. I don't have to worry about if she's going to be unfaithful to me. She's proven her trust. How valuable is that? To know she has his home as her priority. To know that he can trust her to love him above all others. You know, whenever I got married, probably the same with you if you're a man, you stood before God, you made some vows. And vows, I know they differ now, especially in our day and time, differ an awful lot, but usually, and somewhere along the line is, I'm going to take this person in sickness and in health. Means if she's good and healthy or if she's sickly, I'm going to stay with her. For richer or for poor. There's a lot of financial difficulties that have destroyed homes. For richer or for poor. I tell you what, you marry a woman and everything falls apart on you tomorrow, you still got each other. That's a good thing. It's priceless. Till death do us part. Those are words we shouldn't take lightly. It's important. And to know she's going to be with me till death parts us. Now, you may look at this and say, well, Brother Brown, why is it about her doing him good and helping him all the time? I told you, I can only see that from a man's point of view. So let me give you man's point of view right here, right now. If we are to be one flesh, is that question even relevant? If we're bone of each other's bone, flesh of each other's flesh, is that really even a relevant question? We are part of each other. Everything about her makes me better. Everything about me, you know, we bring our strengths and weaknesses together, don't we? And it's about one unit representing Christ in this world. A husband and a wife is a reflection of Christ and the church. A lot of times there's a bad reflection being painted there. Now, anybody watch football yesterday? Y'all watch the before game? What's it called? I don't know. ESPN does the before football game. There you go. College game day. Did y'all notice all the signs in the background? I seen one said Jesus, and that caught my attention. And I noticed, and there was about four or five said Jesus. But I couldn't read everything that was underneath it, and I finally just paused it, backed it up, and paused it, and walked up there and looked real good. My eyes are not like it used to be. Walked up looking, it said Jesus, not church, not religion. Might sound cool. It's kind of catchy. Oh, love Jesus with all your heart. Don't worry about the church. Don't worry about religion. You know, biblically, that can't be backed up. Jesus loves His church. Now, we say Jesus, not fake religion, not false religion, not, you know, not false churches out here. But the Lord gets glory through His church. World without end, amen. We serve the Lord through the church. The church is the body of Christ. He said that the church is bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. So if Christ is the head and we're the body, how are you going to separate that? It's hard to separate. It's very hard to separate something that's been joined together, bone of bone, flesh of flesh. So, wives, listen, if you are fitting, then that makes you bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Can you separate yourselves to promote yourself? Now, I know we have our own interests, and we have our own things that we do, and we go our separate ways. We're talking about a unit working together in harmony to promote the will of God, to edify a family, to edify itself. In love. I see men run down their wives, and not so much now that I preach, but back whenever I was in the workforce, I'd go into the break room, and it'd be, I don't know, 50 men in there in the break room, and boy, they'd be running down their wives, just fussing all the things they're doing, and they'd look over at me, and I'd have me a meal. I'd pop that thing in the microwave and it smelled good. And they'd, my goodness, what in the world? They'd come over and look. Where'd you get that? My wife cooked that for me. They thought that was the craziest thing in the world, that a wife would cook you a meal. I'm not saying all wives have to cook meals like mine does. But I'll tell you this, as far as me and her, it was a blessing. It's a blessing. And you weren't going to find me running her down either. And still not to this day. Look, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's her focus. That's a priority that she has. Your husband is your concern, ladies. Your family is your concern. Verse 23 goes on to say, your husband will be known in the gates. When I first started preaching, Brother Alton, about the first 5 years, I would go preach somewhere. Everywhere I went, if a preacher was going to introduce me, they'd say, this is Brother Brad O'Neill. This is Sabrina's husband. Sabrina's husband. I was introduced to Sabrina's husband. I tell you what, that wasn't a bad thing because they knew her. They knew what kind of girl she was. And being attached to that was not that bad at all. I hope we've gone a little far the other way now. By now. But husbands, you cannot poison a flower and expect it to bloom. You just can't do it. We need to encourage them. Bring your best into your home every single day. Lead your home by faith. Look unto the Lord for guidance. You are to be meat for the master's use. And if we're meat for the master's use, that makes us more fitting to be head of our home, don't it? Bring your best. Live joyfully with the wife of thy youth. Not just live with her, not just tolerate her. Live joyfully with her. You know, we can make that possible if we try real hard, for the most part. I know some have fallen along the way. Some men have made shipwreck of their home. Some women have done the same thing. Some are to blame. Some are not. I understand all those things. Child of God, we are never to take our home for granted. We're never to just, you know, put it on the back burner to seek our own interest. God gave us our home and it's important. We need to do all we can to strengthen it. If you look at your home, you say, I tell you what, we're lacking in some things. There's some problems there. There's some things we're dealing with. Address those things. Deal with those things. Put some time and energy into it. It's important. Because I can guarantee you this, the enemy knows how important your home is. And he will do everything he can to try to disrupt it, try to tear it apart. You pray for me. You pray for my family. We'll ask for a verse of a song.